I'll turn to James chapter 1, and while you're doing that, I'm going to read another scripture, James chapter 1. In Hebrews, it tells us, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This is my heart when I am with you. And I'm not with everybody, but in the different ministries I'm involved here, my heart is to stir you up, or stir up to love and good works. Not to hatred, not to jealousy, not to backbiting, but to love. And that love there, if you look it up, that is the agape, or you guys call the agape love of God. So that's God's love, and you know, that's a special love, isn't it? That's a love that's self-sacrificing, a love that gives. You know, in John chapter 13, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end, or to the end. That's our Lord Jesus. And, you know, we've been exhorted as husbands to love our wives as Christ loved the church. That's the kind of love we're talking about here for one another. And it's good to see that kind of love in our midst like that. But I want to exhort you all the more. And it's good to be together. If you've ever been around a Christian or a person that claims to be a Christian, but yet they have no desire to meet with the people of God, that's not a good thing. It's either they're not saved or there's something wrong in their life. If you have one like that in your life, encourage them to be where we are, where you can experience that. And that was a good season of prayer. And I want to tell you personally, tonight I'm going to go over the ministry a little bit. We haven't done an update in quite some time. But whenever I hear a prayer for anything that we're doing in the outreach, it means a lot to us. It really encourages us. Because sometimes it's very hard work. And sometimes you can get down a little bit. But it's great when you hear another brother or sister talking about how they prayed for you. And that's just important in any ministry we're in here or any health problems, whatever you have, it means a lot. I know that personally. I know you do too as well. But it's important to remember that, and we need to exhort each other all the more as we see that day approaching. Lord Jesus is coming back, and we don't talk about it a whole lot, but he is. He's coming back. I have a brother in the Lord I've known for many, many, many years. He doesn't live here. He's in another city, but we've enjoyed a lot of fellowship through the years, and we purpose in our heart to Maranatha one another as much as we can. So if I'm calling him or he's calling me, it's Maranatha, to the point that his 15-year-old son's in the background now, and you hear, Maranatha, Rob, Maranatha, you know, so he's trying to get me before I can get him. So that's encouraging to hear that. James chapter 1 at verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law, the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, and this one will be blessed in what he does. Now it's important to understand the progression there. First we're hearers, right? And then we're doers. We don't want to be just hearers and deceive ourselves, but we want to be doers of that word. And that was mentioned in a prayer in a different way tonight. But also, if you are a hearer and you're a doer, then guess what follows? A work follows. You cannot have a work of the Lord if you obey him. If you obey him, he will provide work for you to do. And I see that progression in this little section right here. The verses I want to key on tonight, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religious or religion is useless. This religion or religious aspect is more the outward manifestations of our faith. It's not the inward, but the outward, what we see what others are doing. And the tongue, and we're not going to take time to go to chapter 3 and look about the tongue, but the tongue can be a very dangerous thing. And I think we all know that in our own lives. We've all experienced what it can do and the damage it can do. But it can also deceive ourselves. It can destroy. In a sense, it can kill what we've done in the Lord. It also can reveal whether or not what's in our heart. Because the tongue just speaks forth what's in our hearts and our minds a lot of times. We've got to control it. You know, it's part of keeping every thought captive to Christ, right? We've got to keep that under control. We can't let it get out, because it can do a lot of damage within the body. And we've seen that happen, and we don't want that to happen. But pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their troubles, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. I kind of like some thoughts here I found. One was from Bill McDonald. And he's talking about here about the religious works, what I just talked about was the patterns of behavior or external patterns connected with our religious belief. But he goes on to talk about what God is looking for is the practical type of godliness which takes a compassionate interest in others and keeps one's own life clean. And the two examples he talks about, and they're not the only examples in Scripture, but is the widows, to visit the widows, and the orphans or the fatherless. All right, the orphans or the fatherless. One brother by the name of Guy King puts it this way, acts of grace and a walk of separation, these are virtues of practical love and practical holiness. And it's important to understand that indeed. The visitation is really, when we think about it, it's not just going up to the door and knocking and see how you're doing, but it's more than that. It's to look upon, according to the Strong's, to look upon or to inspect, to examine with your eyes in order to see how that person is, to visit, to go see one, to look upon in order to help or to benefit, to look after, have care for, or to provide for. Those are some of the aspects of the visitation that these verses are talking about. The fatherless or the orphans, it's pretty easy to understand. It's not just a child that has no parents. And we think of our brother Nate Branson's work that he did in Egypt a few years back. And he worked with these kids who had no parents and no families in a very bad situation in a Muslim country and without hope, really. But it's also talking about not just without parents or a father, but also it could be in relation to a teacher, a guide, or a guardian, or someone who comes across your life and provides for you and takes care of you, instructs you, and whatever else. The widows, we have several here. And in this day and age, they were that day and time, these were taking care of them in their troubles, their situations. And, you know, in those days, a widow didn't have a lot if their spouse was gone. And it was up to the body of Christ to look after that widow. We have several widows in this meeting, and it's really good and encourage you. I know Brother Michael Swink and Gary and Jason and the Bible study looking to do something with the widows, and that's a great thing to hear. But they will look forward to a hug from you, a word of encouragement when you see them at the meeting, a call, taking them to dinner. This is one of the things God looks at as what he really thinks as a real work in our local church is to look after the widows and the orphans. Well, I'm going to spend the rest of the time talking about the fatherless, and that's who I work with, and several others here. And it's good to see Nakira back there. Hey, Nakira. And it's good to see Margaret and Dave. I know they've been sick. I'm going to break it down to several areas with the time I have left. We'll start with the vans. We started off, of course, on the east side a number of years ago with Beck Street, Claremont Homes, and areas in around that vicinity right there. We currently only had about 5 to 7 young people, not currently, but 5 to 7 young people about a year ago over there, which moved across town to the west side. Out of that, 1 or 2 have moved away to another city, and we're left with Chardonnay and Daniel, and they're right off of Stanley Road and the Oak West Housing Development over there. That's between Hilltop and Wendover, if you don't know where that was. And then we have, of course, Nakira and her sisters. And they live maybe 8 minutes away from that that location, intersection of Guilford College, Market Street area out there. So, but because of time constraints, and we don't have enough time with that 30 minutes between the Lord's Supper and the 11 o'clock meeting to go and get everybody, Lewis and Jonathan, who run that route, have chosen to go after Chardonnay and Daniel. It's just an easier ride. It's a quicker ride, and we can get back in time with that. We don't like the fact that we can't get Nakira and her sisters anymore. And we, you know, if we had somebody else to help, that'd be great, and we could get them. I'm hoping she's finding somewhere else that she can attend, and I've offered to help her with that if she wants to. And that's something I've started looking to do, is not so much going way out of our way to get these kids. It's not feasible. It's not practical for us to do that. But if we can find a place, and we're not the only one that does this. I've been able to meet other church fellowships, solid Bible-believing church fellowships, who are doing similar things here in Greensboro, and I bet People in Burlington as well, they're doing the same things. So if I can find anybody to help, that's a great thing. Out of that group of five, I know Chardonnay and Akira have confessions of faith, and that's a good thing to hear. I'm not sure about her sisters, but I know I have those two. And they're some of our oldest kids that have been coming. I mean, the Backstreet Days are the first days, and they've been coming just about the whole time. The other area is Smith Homes, which would be a little bit of Glenwood, a little bit of Hantham Homes, and the area around that as well. And we currently have 11 to 13 children or young people that come, maybe not all at the same time, but they do come at different times. And they're involved in different activities of the chapel. Some might be in the youth group, like Jocelyn and Terrence comes to KFC, and those are two. We have Jock Keese, who's a newer guy, been coming about a year. He's got a couple of little brothers, Chris and Sinton, a.k.a. Snooky. And he he's cute as his name sounds. He's a cute little kid, and he's a good little kid. And they've been able to come, the Kids for Christ, some. We haven't seen him this year, but they have been coming in the past. We have little David, who's going on about 5 years here now. Hard to believe, but he started about 4 or 5 years old. He's going to be 10. So he's been coming quite a while. His little brother Darius is coming now. He's about 4, going on 5. And a little friend that David started bringing, so a little bit maybe of a little evangelism going there with David, is a friend called Sakai. And he's been coming quite regular for a few weeks now. Then we have the brothers Tay and Paige. We have Jalen. Of course, Thomas Hansen, who's our oldest in Smith Homes. And we have two sisters, Genesis, who lives over by Hampton Homes in a neighborhood over there. And then Sadasia lives in Smith Homes. Two adults, Lynn Tatum and Robin Hansen, Thomas's mother, comes from time to time. We have 6 confessions of salvation out of that group that we know of. For sure. So that's a good thing. And we're thankful. And we look forward to other ones as well. The other thing is, the next group is mentoring and discipleship. And I'll look at that as individual and group. We do it both ways. Currently, we have 3 full-time or regular-time mentors. And that would be Tico and Terrence. And Tico's on his second young man, I believe. Dante was the other one. And he's working with Terrence. And that's going really well. Good, good. And we're really thankful for Tico, because Tico, we know, you know, did the bus ministry here years ago, and he's been a wealth of support and information for us, someone we can go to for advice if we needed it. He's lived it, he's experienced it along with others, and we're thankful for that. Also, Tico's a straight shooter, and I like that. We've had run-ins with, you know, other kids at camp. One young man I used to work with, DJ, who's not done really well, and he's in and out of jail and other problems, but you can pray for DJ. But Tico, I know, had a run-in with a camp a few years ago. And that young man was trying to play a card that, you know, there are bigots there. And Tico set him straight, because we're not. And the camp was not. And I appreciate that. He would not let him get away with that. But I like that about Tico. And we know where we are at Tico, and he's good with those kids. Chris Kenyon has been working with David for quite a while. He spends just about every Sunday afternoon with that young man. And he'll tell you that David keeps him straight a lot of times. So I appreciate Chris's heart for David and David's family as well. Margaret, of course, even though we cannot pick up Nakira every Sunday, Margaret and Dave opens up his home. They've been working quite often, if not every week, if they can, with Nakira. We're so glad for that contact with her, and we're thankful for that she's here with us tonight. We have an interest in another session of training for the mentoring and discipleship. If you understand what this is, the mentoring to me is coming along and becoming a friend to that child and encouraging that child, and you hope it leads to salvation in a discipleship part of it. So that's what that is all about. And we have one sister here who's interested in the training. So if you are interested, this is a good time to jump on board with this. We haven't decided when we're going to do it, but if you are interested, it'd be a good way to kind of feel it out. Maybe you're a little apprehensive, you don't know what to do with one of these kids, you know, it's just regular stuff, regular life, and that's what we do with them. If you got to go to the store, take them to the store. If you got to go to Lowe's, go to Lowe's. You know, if you're going to do some yard work, do some yard work. They need to learn how to work and see what you do. So there's just a lot of different everyday normal things. You want to take them for a bike ride, take them for a bike ride. You know, we don't usually go out and do big meals, but if you want to take them for a meal, that's fine as well. But it's a good way to be around others who have done the program and experience it. And you're always invited to go with any of us, whether it's the group, and the group might be a way for you to do it too, because it's more of a bigger setting. You're not individualized. If you want to just see what goes on, we could always use your help with that and in the group setting. Just let me or Mark Shelley or anyone I've mentioned, any of the mentors here, know if you're interested in that, and we'll be glad to let you know when that time comes. The other one is the group mentoring, and that's kind of out of necessity. We don't have enough help. We have enough kids, but we don't have enough help, so we kind of have gotten together. Mark was going into Smith Homes, and he was working every other week with a group, and then the other week he worked with a smaller group, maybe one or two kids. I had another group of kids, and a lot of those profess to be saved. The ones Mark is working with, not a clear confession of faith or a profession of faith, but the ones they were, and I had a burden to see them discipled and grow in the Lord, and they were coming here on a regular basis. So Mark and I got together last winter and said, let's do something together every other week, and we're going to start again next week for this next semester. And we get them together, we do a game, maybe it's basketball or something like that, and then we have a time of study in the Word. Last year we did kind of a basic overview of the Scriptures. I'll take it and teach it in a way to disciple these young men who profess to be saved. And then Mark will take the same thing and with more of a gospel emphasis on that. So, you know, he'll reach them with that kind of message. And then we take them out to eat and take them home. So the whole thing lasts probably about a couple hours, you know, 5 to 7. And we're usually done with that. And we have a great time. We can have as many as 13 boys at times with that. And it's good to have extra help. And it's not just Mark and I, but we have other help. Chris Kenyon helps us with that as well. And Bruce Chamberlain does. And if you have 13 boys together, you've got to have some extra help because they're boys. And they're not bad, but they do get to talking a little bit. But once you get them and we split them up and we've learned how to do it, it's something to watch them read the Scriptures together, ask you questions, and study the Bible with you. It's refreshing for me to see that with these young guys. And they'll ask you anything, you know. They're not afraid to ask you anything what's going on. But that's been a tremendous work. We would have started last fall, except a lot of them were playing football, so there was no way to get them together. And now they're football season's been over for a while. I'm going to go back and start again. So pray. We don't know how many we'll have. We might not have the same group. They kind of age out, but just pray for that situation. And the next one is the van fund. A lot of you don't probably know what we do with the money that may be given into the van fund. I'm sorry, I get a very dry mouth when I talk. We started the van fund a number of years ago. And kind of an ease of use to get to some monies. Occasionally we pay a bill, maybe twice a year, and the chapel has been graciously kind to help out in situations like that as well when the need was great. But most of the time it's once, twice a season that we even pay a bill. But something was started a while back was camp. Camp has been a tremendous instrument by the Lord for the salvation of these children and also for rededication of these kids' lives. And we just have a burden to share financially with the camp. So as much of that money as we can give to camp, we want to give to Mountaintop Youth Camp. We're very thankful for it. And I tell you, to go up there is one thing to take the kids because they're excited about going. But I tell you, if you're on the crew that picks them up, that's something else as well. To hear them talk about the week and what the Lord has done, and some of them got saved, so that was great. You know, I'll start off with, hey, you know, I heard something happened this week, because they always tell me, you know, one of the counselors or something tells me, or whoever's picking the kids up, and says, oh, what happened? You want to kind of move the conversation, let them tell you that they've gotten saved or rededicated their life. And it's just a great trip home every time you go up there. And I want to thank a lot of people. This past summer was our best summer as far as help goes. It used to be just a couple, three of us running back and forth all summer long. But we had so many people that helped us last summer, and I'm very thankful for that. And it was Todd and Cindy, Mary and Stephen, Dave and Margaret, of course, Laura and myself, Chris Kenyon. I'm thinking there were some others. I don't want to bypass you. It was just so many that we didn't have to run every weekend, you know, maybe twice on a weekend. So it was really thankful to see that kind of response and your hearts participating in the work that way. We're very happy to do that. Another part of the work is started this last summer is a work program. With the boys who regularly come here, it's not their fault where they're born. It's not their fault what's happened to them. But we can encourage them, and along with the gospel, education is important, but also want to teach them a work ethic. And we had some things around here that needed to be done. I approached the deacons, and they graciously said, yes, do it, anything else you can find to do. And what I do is I take these boys, along with Dylan and my father-in-law, Larry, has helped me, and I invite Brian Stewart, many of you know, lives across the street over here in the neighborhood. Brian's not part of our ministry, but we invite him a lot of times to be a part. He's older. It's a training program for him and encouraging him to be a part of this. Plus, I can count on Brian. He's more mature. Along with Thomas, they work hard, and you can count on them to do a good job while you're trying to get the other guys, keep them working. But we have a good time. But I'll bank that money. I decide an hourly rate for them, and I bank that money. And then we decide what we want to do with it. And we were able to do three or four mulch piles around this building right here, thanks to Carrie for spraying, going before us and preparing the way. But he sprayed that for us. But we've done all the mulch around this building. And if there's more mulch, we'll do that too. We're looking for more stuff as the weather starts to warm up again. But we did a trip to the water park, and that was fun. We took a group of those boys, Dylan and I did, and had a great time with them. And then at Christmas, I wanted them to do something not for themselves but for somebody else. So I said, why don't you go? We'll take you shopping. So we went to lunch, and we went shopping after the meeting one Sunday. And they bought something for their mothers or their grandmothers. And it's really great to see their eyes light up when they found this one thing they wanted, you know. I joked around with my family because my son, Ryan, my oldest son, gave me a gift, I think, for the first time in his life. I think he really thought about it. You know, that's great. It's not so much what it is. It's just that I knew when I saw that gift, he thought about it, and he bought that specifically for me. He didn't call up his mother and say, you know, hey, Mom, can you go get this for Dad? I got 20 bucks, whatever. So when you see these kids go up there and say, oh, Mr. Rob, can I get this necklace? I got enough money. Can I get this? You know, and whatever, you know. So, you know, it's great to see them do that. And their mothers really enjoyed, or their grandmothers really enjoyed that. These kids don't have fathers, okay? So very few of them have fathers. The men are in and out, and they probably never knew them. And some of them, yeah, once in a while. But for the most part, they don't know their dads. So keep praying for these guys. So if you feel, and I'm not here to beg for the van fund. We live by faith. Brothers and sisters, we live by faith in whatever we do. But the scripture also gives a clear pattern of making known our needs. And so if you want to give, you know, you can mark it to the van fund. And I just wanted you to understand, I don't think we've ever clarified to the congregation what we use those monies for. And most of it is for the camp and for the work program. I know most of us are involved in this room, as it's brought up in the prayer and ministry here. And if you're not, I'd like to encourage you. We have a lot of ministries in this chapel, a lot of ministries that need help and need support. If you're looking for something to do, you can't complain about this chapel, I'm going to tell you right now. When the Lord opened the door for me when I came here, it took a little bit of time because I was not young. I knew, you know, what I'd done and what the Lord wanted me to do. But then he led me to something I never thought I'd do, and this is what I'm doing right now. It's working with these kids. Okay, I've done a lot of other things, but I've never worked with kids, and I would never have thought I would be here looking back in my life and love these kids. I fellowshiped with a brother the other night in another city, and we had some great fellowship, really enjoyed it. And I told him about what we were doing, and I said, man, I love those kids. I love those kids. Yeah, it's frustrating at times when they don't show up. You know, we had three more boys who were supposed to be baptized a couple of weeks ago, but it wasn't their fault. There was other things. A parent or whatever did not want to be baptized, but they wanted to be baptized. So we're praying that we can get David, we can get Tay and Paige baptized here before too long. The Lord will open that door and we can get those guys baptized. Also, I want to put a word out. Michael didn't pay me to do this, but I'm telling you, you got a great thing if you're a young adult, young person who's in the age bracket that Michael and Gary and the others are working on. They're doing the Book of John. And they're going to be doing some work projects. So what I read tonight about being doers, right, being hearers and doers, that's what they're training you to do there. So if you're in that age group, I'm going to tell you, if I'm in your age group, barring sickness, death, or emergency at work, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. That's what I would be there. When I was a young person in the youth group, I was hooked the first night I went, and I'd go sick. If I couldn't drive, I'd call up a friend to pick me up. I was on medication. I couldn't drive. I would get picked up to go to that meeting because I wanted to be there. I didn't have that in my life. It was something that the Lord gave me, and I wanted to be there. So don't bypass that. There's a lot of us who would love to have that kind of open fellowship on the Word of God and stay like that. That's a great thing. So if you can go to that. All right, let's pray. Father, again, we thank you so much for who you are and what you've done in each life in this room. We thank you, Father, for all those who know you as their Father, who know your Son as their Lord and their Savior. We are encouraged by your love for us. We're encouraged that you're always with us. We're encouraged, Father, by your people that are here tonight. We're thankful for the prayers they offer up for the different ministries and the different saints here who are not able to be here, sick in the body, Father. We pray for them as well. We thank you for all the hearts that serve, who love you. Father, we thank you that they do this because they know you've called them and they want to be of service for you. They want to honor you. They want to worship you through these works. We often don't think of it that way, but we know the Word talks about, Father, that our service is part of our worship for you. And we know your Son has taught us that to love him is to keep his commandments. To abide in him is to keep his commandments. And that we should also walk even as he walks. So we thank you, Father, for this meeting. We pray for this meeting. We pray that you would guard it. We pray for our oversight, for our elders, Father, as they seek to watch over this meeting. And Father, we pray that you would keep them as well. We pray, thank you for our deacons. We thank you and pray for them of the projects they have upon them. They've been asked for prayer, and we just lift them up before you tonight. Again, we just thank you for this time together. In your Son's name, amen.